So, we are beginning Sefer Bamidbar today, and I want to give a kind of introductory class on Sefer Bamidbar in general, really to raise the questions and the problems with its order, more than to offer a solution, and then we will have another class for the first chapter. So, as you can see from my table of contents on the screen here, it's kind of really hard to find one way to split up Sefer Bamidbar into a continuous narrative or a continuous structure. So there's various ways in which it's continuous, of course, and I will discuss them. But what really the big problem with Sefer Bamidbar is that the parts of internal to this narrative, or to these several different themes in the book, don't seem to connect with one another. So for example, Sefer Shemois, or Sefer Bereshit is even easier, even Sefer Vayikra, we could split into two, three, four parts very easily and have more or less each part be contained, like the beginning of Shemos is the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, then the story of Matan Torah, then the story of the Mishkan, and so on. Same way for Vayikra, we have the beginning story, or framing as we called it, and then all the laws which go more or less in order, and then the end, which there's some difficulty we had about the order in the end, but more or less it's organized. In Bamidbar, we have no such kind of organization that we can put simply to the book. We can't cut up easily the book into parts. You could do that, but the problem that you have if you do that is that in every single part, for example, you get laws. Like you see here, what I've done in my highest level order in my Chumash is to do to split it into different areas, and then have numbers for each, and you see how it goes back and forth. So, for example, the one kind of parsha which occurs throughout the whole book is mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs, and when I say mitzvahs, I mean style parsha, which we can see that it's meant to be a mitzvah. I think mostly mitzvah ledoiris, mitzvah is something that is a law to be followed for always. And there's at least seven such sections. And they occur throughout the book, so it's not like you have a part where there's mitzvahs, like within a story where the mitzvahs were given, something like we have in Sefer Shemos or Vayikra, and then some stories. No, there's mitzvahs all throughout. So that's one category which makes it very hard to create a splitting of the book into a coherent part, that each one should have its own coherence. It's very hard to do that. There are some ideas of solving that, but it's still, I'm just presenting the difficulty here. One other thing that the book is known for, right? It's known as the Book of Numbers, or Chumash HaPekudim. This is in Chazal, and the Targum HaShivim called it that way, the Book of Numbers. And we do have along the, it starts with the counts and the census of the people as they were going in the desert and really going to Eretz Yisrael. And in some sense, that also returns in the end, at least in Parshas Pinchas, very explicitly returns. So again, there isn't like the beginning talking about numbers and then later other things. Numbers occur throughout the whole book, or almost throughout the whole book, and you can't really put one part having to do with that and another part having to do with something else. One other thing, at least, that is a framing that we can sort of have consistently if we decide to prioritize that. I'm not sure that there's a reason to force us to do that. Maybe if you want to have some kind of splitting that splits it up nicely, you would have to do that, which is the chronological order. Now, this book is not entirely chronological because of the mitzvahs and things that might not be in their order, but just like the entire series of books from Bereshit all the way until the end of Amidbar, and of course also Devarim, but that makes it a little more complicated, just like the connection between Vayikra and Bamidbar is complicated, as we'll see in a second. There is a chronological progress where it started, you know, the whole story started in Shemois with Yitzias Mitzrayim, and now continues in Sefer Bamidbar, for example, continues more or less picks up from after the Mishkan was created to the next steps, and then sort of follows the Sefer Bamidbar, ends all the way at the step, at the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael, with them entering Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Bamidbar in Arves Maif, Sefer Bamidbar takes us all the way through that progress, and that's one reason why. Or at least that's not really the reason, but that's one reason why it can be said to be Sefer Bamidbar, the book of the wanderings in the desert. It is the one book that has an almost complete narrative of the wanderings in the desert, all the way from Sinai to Arves Maiv. Those are the two bookends of that wandering in Sefer Bamidbar, right? It doesn't start from Yetzias Mitzrayim. That, for that, you have to go to Sefer Shemois. But it does start after Matan Torah, after the Hakamas HaMishkan in Sinai, all the way to Arvis Moav, which is the last stop. And then you could see in the entirety of Sefer Dvarim as an elaboration of that last stop, as it starts with the speech of Moshe given in Arvis Moav, and then gives us in the last parashas the final actual actions of Moshe dying, of the people getting close to enter Eretz Yisrael. But really, that part of that narrative is really Sefer Midbar gets us all the way there, or almost all the way there, almost to the last moment. So that's the third way in which Sefer Midbar can be split up, and obviously that's the only way. If you want to have some kind of order, it's the only way. But again, the mitzvahs that we have are not necessarily connected, and this is, I think, the big problem for doing this kind of organization. The kind of proposal that people have had, or one proposal that people have had, is to try to claim that these mitzvahs in each part somehow belong to that story. So in Parshas Korach, the stories of in Parshas Shlach, there's the story of Tzitzit, and then there's the Parshas of Korach. There must be some way to putting all these series, all these sections of mitzvahs. Maybe we could say something like, that's when these mitzvahs were given to Moshe, and just happened to have been in that stage of the story. Or there's Midrashim, of course, that everyone knows about Shlach, Korach, Chukas, that explain the connections between the stories and the mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs, now, that would be another way, although some of them are just medrash, they're forced. There isn't an obvious way to connect. Of course, on the other hand, and this is more explicit in the second half of the book, where we do have the narrative of the people getting closer to Eretz Yisrael and all the conquests of Sichem Ve'oig and all the things, the wars that happened on the way to Eretz Yisrael, in those parshas, we do have several parshas of mitzvahs which are explicitly framed in response to situations that they were there, like the halachas of Geulah Midyan, like the halachas of Nachlas. Maybe we could see the entirety of the halachas of splitting up the land and some kind of mitzvahs that are explicitly framed. The only time, right, the one mitzvah that we had in Sefer Vayikra, which was framed like this, was that we discussed the story of the Mekalel with the old parsha of mitzvah that came in after that. But here in Sefer Midbar, many of the mitzvahs are framed like that, especially in the second half of the book. So that is one key that might help us make sense of the entirety of the logic of the book. But still, you're going to have mitzvahs in every other place, which doesn't really connect to anything. So really, it's these mitzvahs that cause the greatest difficulty of this kind in this book, which is why my greatest level of headers looks like this. Though probably the solution, so to speak, to this would be that if we go to the next level of headers, we can see that we should probably somehow more or less just leave the mitzvahs on a side and have the basic narrative of the structure, the chronological order of the narrative, and then have the mitzvahs as a question subservient to that. And I will review that sense of narrative right now and explain a little bit about it. So the beginning of it is, of course, it's framed as starting with the Pikudim, with counting the census of the people. But more specifically, and I'm going to say this, more specifically, this census really is related to the census are usually not made just to know the numbers of people. That's not a question of curiosity. It's a question of organization. It's a question of organizing the people towards some purpose. And specifically here, towards the purpose of creating the armies that will go on to conquer the land in the after this book, right, the Sefer Yeshua, really. But the whole story of the wandering, which we call the wandering, which should be maybe called the march through the desert, is very explicitly framed like this. So that's one framing. Now, that framing itself comes out of the framing of the story of the Mishkan. And we've seen some of this in the stories of the Mishkan and Sefer Shemois. The Mishkan is the center, that's the center of the machana, center of the camp, is where Hashem, so to speak, goes and walks with them and also goes out to war with them, with the people. Around that is the Machna Leviyah, the Machna, the Kehanim, the Leviyim, all of that. And one very specific thing that Sefer Bamidbar emphasizes, which is really part, in other words, we could see, like I said, one way of seeing it is starting this with the census. Another way of saying this part of the story is that this start is really the completion of the story of the Chanukah HaMishkan, which we had parts of in both Sefer Shemois and in Sefer Vayikra and in Sefer Midbar. So these three books, these three middle books of the Torah, right? If we put Bereshis on one side as like an opening and the Devarim on the other side as an ending, then we have the three middle books of the Torah. And there's one story which repeats itself in all three of them very explicitly. Of course, there's some mitzvahs that are somewhat repeated in all three of them and so on. But there's one story, a major story that's repeated in all three of them, or that parts of it appear in each of them. And that's the story of the dedication of the Mishkan, the Chanukah HaMishkan. So the Chanukah HaMishkan, the actual standing up, the building of the Mishkan is in the end of Shemois, the dedication with the karbonos is in Tzav Shemini, the Miluim of Vayikra. And the part, which is really mostly the part of the Levim, the dedication of the Levim, and also the Chanukah Sanasim, right? Bahaloyscha, which we read in Chanukah, right? This is the parasha of Chanukah Samizbech, is in Bamidbar. So that's probably some secret or some clue to organize these three books around this Mishkan. And as I say, this is the part of the Levim, which is, can be said, like to be the most outer part, right? The way in which the Mishkan's organization spreads out towards the entire camp. And this is what prepares them also for being the camp that's going to go to war. So that's really the first part of the book, which can be said to go until Parshas Bahaloscha, more or less until here. Of course, in between, in the middle, you have these mitzvahs, which some of them we could sort of understand how they connect, like that Tumim should go out of the Machna, but some of them are harder to explain why they belong here, but that's what we have here, all the way until here. The mitzvah of Pesach Shaini, we could understand, is a mitzvah also, I forgot to say, one of the mitzvahs that are explicitly framed as a response to a story. So that's also one of the secrets, one of the kind of mitzvahs that are especially popular in Sefer Bamidbar, although there are some examples of them in Sefer Vayikra, and maybe even Sefer Shmos, as we discussed. Now, the second part of the story, which is can be said to be here, where I started Masa Midbar, maybe I'll make a bigger letter of headings to show this part, this kind of split, because it just makes it easier to be able to somehow to split the book, is that after all of this is set up, that's how the story goes, after all of this is set up, we have the Mishkan, we have the people set up around the Mishkan, now we're starting to travel to Eretz Yisrael. This is something that happens around the Psukim of Vayi ben Soyam, Parshas Bahaloscha. It describes exactly how it will work, and how they went there, and how all of this, the whole order with Yisrael, all of the stories over there, this is the beginning of the march towards Eretz Yisrael. And what happens in that march is really, that's where we get all the problems. So we start with Taveira, Kivrisa Tava, the story of the Meraglim, later the story of the Mekoshish, maybe the story of Koirach, the story of Neymariva. All of these stories are somehow problems that happened in this second part. Like not in the first part of the story where they said everything's really beautiful, that's the part where everything is still perfect. From Baaloyscha, and we say Baaloyscha, second half Baaloyscha, Shlach, Koirach, Hukas, Balak, Pinchas, right? All the story of the Zimri and Bnei Midian. All of that are problems that are specific to the step of the people marching towards Eretz Yisrael and all of their complaints, all of their problems, all of the reasons that caused this march to turn into a kind of wandering of 40 years and so on. In between, there's a bunch of mitzvahs sprinkled in. The mitzvah of Menuchas and Sochim and Challah and Karbonis and Pashas Shlach, mitzvah of Tzitzis later. Mitzvahs of Trimas Maastres and Kehuna and Pashas Koirach, Mitzvah of Taras Mes, all of these, they're all organized in groups, as you can see. It's not like there's randomly mitzvahs. Usually there's like a group, a series of mitzvahs that somehow comes in. Maybe we could understand if we find one in each group that belongs to the story, maybe the rest are somehow Derech Agav. I don't know how to explain this, but that's the second half, the second part of this book. There's the story of Balak and Bilam, which also should be seen as part of that. It's one of the people that they met on their way. Of course, it's a story of success, although there's some complications in that with Zimri and Pinchas and all of that, but somehow a story is part of that. So that's the second part of the journey of this book and the story with Sans. Then we have the third part, which again, it's not entirely clear where to start it, but maybe we could start only in Parshas Matos, or we should start it already in Parshas Chukas. There's a question here. We are should start this part, but we could call that in the framing of Sefer Bamidbar, Sefer Devarim, in Moshe's speech, very explicitly frames the desert as these three stages. There's a stage in Sinai where everything was great. There's a stage from Sinai and in his staging until Kodesh Barnea, which is Chukas, which is why that's the reason to follow Moshe Rabbeinu in organizing the story this way, is where the curse of the first generation, right, the problems where they didn't want to go, that still stopped. And finally, we have new generation, and we're marching towards Eretz Yisrael. In that series of stories, we have a series of successes, right? That's really where we have the second half of the story of the census, right? Again, the people are counted mostly for the point, for the purpose of forming this army that's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. We have Milchemes Midian, which we can discuss to which series it belongs. And then we have already here how Yeshua is being appointed to be the next leader, although Moshe is dying much later. And we have the series of wars, Milchemes Midian, Nechamas that we have at Sichem Va'oik, and some more wars or avoidance of wars discussed in Parshas Chukas. So that's the story where things are starting to go well. They're starting to win their wars, really. Things are starting to work out, and that's the third part of the story, and that leads us all the way till Parshas Matis Masa, which is literally the laws of how they will conquer the land, who they will give it, and divide it up and between them, and so on. And between here, we have a bunch of laws again, the Karbonis Misif and Parshas Pinchas, Halachas of Nedarim, and beginning of Matis, and so on, which we can somehow connect each of them locally to their part of the story, but there isn't a very great clarity of that. So that's the three-part division of the book that we can have if we want to take this narrative of the traveling to the desert as primary. So we have the first part until Baal Oischa, where they're setting everything up in Sinai. Second part from Baal Oischa until the middle of Chukas, or maybe until Pinchas Matas, which is the wanderings in the desert and all the problems that they had in the desert, that they made, their sins, their problems, and so on. And then the third part is after that curse passed, after that problem passes, when the things start going well, they start doing their... There's this weird stage of wars, which are usually neglected in the stories that we tell, of the successful wars that Moshe led on the threshold of Eretz Yisrael, right? The conquest of Evrei Yarden, of Transjordan, and so on. And all the laws that go along together with that, that's the third part of the book, and that brings us to the end of the book. So that's my preface to Sefer Bamidbar.